Good morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. Jenna Wolf, Nick Wright, Kevin Welch, Chris Broussard with us today. We've got a great show. It's Thursday. The week's going slow, but we are jam-packed. Big show today. Hey, we now know the possible reason why Jamal Adams might want out from the New York Jets, why Zion may shock some people come playoff time, and Nick Swisher's going to join us, talk some baseball, get us ready for this season. Nice. But we're going to start in the NBA this morning. It's also called the NBA, our rewarding performance sponsored by Capital One Venture Card. What's in your wallet? So much talk, right, about the Lakers and the Clippers. Let's not forget about Giannis and the Bucks. Head coach Mike Budenholzer says this time off is a, quote, huge advantage for Milwaukee because Giannis is, quote, completely and totally healthy and in a great place both mentally and physically. Remember, he had missed the Bucks' last two games before the break with a knee injury. So, Nick, let's start there with a healthy Giannis. What do you think is more likely for this Milwaukee team, winning it all or missing the finals?
Oh, the playoffs, Jenna, rather. That's the... No, missing the finals. You got it right. You nailed it. That's the easiest question I've ever been asked. Winning it all. The Bucks are going to be in the NBA Finals. I am more confident the Bucks are going to be in the NBA Finals than I am of my pick to actually win the NBA Finals, that the Lakers will be in the NBA Finals. People need to remember last season. Last season, the Bucks were a double overtime game away from not only going to the finals, but they would have then won the finals. They had up to that point, they were 10-1 in the Eastern Conference playoffs, and then they lost that double overtime game, and things went awry for them from there. I know Broussard will say Kawhi Leonard activated the Infinity Stone. I think it's a little more in-depth than that. But Kawhi Leonard's not in the conference anymore, so it doesn't even matter. This is the best team in the East by far. They've got a guy who's about to win his second consecutive league MVP, and he should. LeBron should finish second, but Giannis should win the award. And whenever we talk about the Bucks, we say, yeah, but they don't have a great second star. And while Chris Middleton isn't the name that some of these other guys' second stars is, Chris Middleton is having a better season than, for example, Kawhi's second star than Paul George. Chris Middleton's having a 50-40-90 year. A 50-40-90 year for Chris Middleton. You have a few concerns about the coach in the playoffs. I understand that. But who in the East is challenging him? That's what someone's going to have to explain to me. Now, in the finals, not only do I think they will be challenged, I think they can be beaten, and they will be beaten because they're going to be facing LeBron and the Lakers. But, no, I would be gobsmacked, Wilds, if the Bucks don't represent the Eastern Conference in these NBA finals.
Yeah, it takes a lot for you to be gobsmacked, Nick, so that's a good take. Look, I think the Bucks are a little bit like fresh squeezed orange juice. You get a little fresh squeezed orange juice, you say, wow, this is gonna be great. And then you have a sip of it and you said, you know what? This is 10 times better than I realized. It's great and still underrated. Because rather than talk about the Bucks making it to the finals or winning the finals, we should really be talking about the Bucks being one of the best teams of all time when we look at their point differential. Right up there with Wilt and Kareem and Jordan. And here's the little bit of what makes them super underrated. Their star player barely plays. We can show how many minutes he's playing a game. Look at he's up there with Dennis Schroeder, Giannis, Darius Garland, and Joe Harris. He's barely playing, Broussard. So when Budenholzer talks about keeping him healthy, that was their plan the entire year. They've limited his workload. Not like Harden's playing a ton of minutes. Dame's playing a ton of minutes. Russ is playing a ton of minutes. So I think the Bucks roll here. And come October, we'll be talking about, are they one of the best teams of all time?
Wow. I'm gobsmacked.
That's true.
Gobsmacked.
Oh, wow, double.
And then gobsmacked that Nick thinks this is such an easy question. I think it's tough because, one, I do think the Bucks will win the East, so I will give them that. However, I give them very little chance, very little, of beating whichever L.A. team comes out of the West and reaches the finals. So I am going to say they have a better chance of missing the finals.
Oh, boy.
Look, they could end up being like those last two teams LeBron was on in Cleveland before going to Miami. Those teams were very good. They were tremendous in the regular season. 66 wins, 61 wins. but couldn't get over the hump in the Eastern Conference playoffs because of matchups or lack of talent or a second guy that could get it done. And that kind of reminds me of Milwaukee. They're a one-man show, just like LeBron was with those squads in Cleveland. Chris Middleton, he deserved to be an all-star the last 2 years. He is a very good player. But we saw something very disturbing last year when, yes, Kawhi activated the Infinity Stone and Middleton went the opposite way. Less than 14 points on 41% shooting a game against Toronto in that series. And he only totaled 20 points in the last two games, Nick. So I am not sure that when push comes to shove, is Middleton going to be there? Plus, you got teams, you know that they're going to pack it in and make Giannis shoot the three or shoot the outside jumper. He's improved, but still below 31% from three. I'm picking Milwaukee in the East, but it is not going to be easy. I think Boston, which is very well coached, which is very good talent, is going to be tough. You always like to dismiss the Celtics, but watch out for them.
Well, the Celtics, if the bracket holds, Celtics are going to have trouble getting out of the first round against Philly. But, man, the legend of Kawhi Leonard continues to grow because Broussard's been telling me for 9 months that Kawhi Leonard shut down Giannis those final four games. Now it turns out Kawhi Leonard shut down Giannis and Chris Middleton. So I guess that Infinity Stone involves some type of duplication process, cloning process, where he was two places at once. So more credit to the reigning finals MVP, Kawhi Leonard. I understand Wild's point about the point differential, and I know Broussard, you know, metaphorically or literally rolled his eyes. He just wasn't on camera. If they win the title, we are going to have to put them in that discussion because of that. It should be noted, though, that we showed the top five in point differential where the Bucks are fifth. If you expanded it to the top 10, you get three other teams, the 2016 Warriors, the 2016 Spurs, and the 72 Bucks, all of which did not win the finals. So the top four always have. We'll see which direction Milwaukee goes. But I'm just really taken aback a bit by Kawhi Leonard. I mean, it's not even the topic of the conversation, but wow, man. Shut down the top two guys on the Bucks. More power to him. Maybe he is the best player in basketball. I didn't know it was possible, Jenna.
Hey, Broussard, let that sink in for a second. The other issue here is how much pressure the Bucks are under right now to win. It almost feels like they need to win this year if they want any chance of keeping Giannis long-term on the team. So I wonder how much how the Bucks' postseason success, how that impacts the future of Giannis staying in Milwaukee.
Well, first, let me say this. I did not say Kawhi Leonard guarded Chris Middleton. I know he guarded Giannis. I just wanted to get that Infinity Stone comment in, so I had to throw Kawhi in.
Okay,
but Middleton did disappear. You know that. But yeah. To Jenna, to your point, there's pressure for them to get to the finals. Obviously, they want to win it all. But if they get to the finals and don't win, if they get to the finals and play the Clippers or the Lakers tough and lose, I think that'll be viewed as a step in the right direction as we're on our way, and the following season we can win it. So the biggest problem for Giannis's future in Milwaukee will be if they don't get to the finals. That's when I think he will really begin to think like, okay, do we have enough here to ever win it at all? And so that's the challenge for them. But remember, they've got him locked up for one more season after this. So as long as they get to the finals and then they'll have another chance to win it next year, or let me back up a little. If they don't reach the finals, the pressure will be on them to make a big change, a big personnel move that will give them a better chance the last year with Giannis to get to the finals and maybe win it. I still think he'll have they got one more year to make him feel like they can win it. He's a loyal guy. So there's no need to panic if they don't win it all this year.
That's interesting, Broussard. The idea that they would make a big move is really interesting. I don't know what that move would be. They're so good in the regular season, and their point differential is great. You would think that as constructed, they're built to win the finals. But if they run into some trouble, I'm going to throw it back to you. What move do you think they would make?
I don't know. It would be tough because, as you said, they're running through teams in the regular season. They've got size. They're great defensively. They shoot the three well. But getting to the finals and losing, I don't think necessitates a huge move. If they lose in the Eastern Conference playoffs, I don't think they can stand pat and just think, okay, hey, we're going to get there next year and win it. I think they would have to try to keep Giannis.
I totally agree with you, Broussard, that if they don't make the finals, I wouldn't trade Giannis, even if he says, if they miss the finals and he says, I'm not re-signing, I wouldn't trade him because you can win the title next year and change his mind. It's not an Anthony Davis situation where he tells you he's leaving and you know you can't win the title, so you have to get what you can try to get. But where I would push back a bit as far as, or where I would agree with you, I should say, is if they don't make the finals, you have to make a massive change. You use the comparison of LeBron's sixth and seventh years in the league, his last 2 years in Cleveland. Those were great regular season teams that missed the finals. But they at least could, in their head, justify it in, well, in year six, we lost to a guy who at the time was a top five player in the league, Dwight Howard, at the peak of his powers, and a team that was clicking on all cylinders. And in year seven, we lost to the big three in Boston, a team that already won a championship and was about to go seven in the next finals. There are no teams like that in the East. There is no peak of his powers, Dwight Howard, in the East other than Giannis. There is no big three in Boston in the East. So if they were to stumble again this year, then I do think, no matter if Giannis signs the extension or not, you can't just run it back. But I don't think they're going to stumble. I think they're going to roll through the Eastern Conference and then face a really tough matchup in the NBA Finals against the Lakers, maybe against the Rockets, and I guess there's an outside chance the Clippers are there.
Outside. Way outside, Broussard. Take a turn now, talk some baseball. Hey, does the shortened season help or hurt the Yankees' chances of winning their 28th World Series? We're talking baseball. Next on First Things First. The stress of daily life weighs on all of us, whether you're an elite athlete or just a regular person trying to get through the day. Muscle pain and muscle tension, that's a real thing. That's why I use Theragun, the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combination of depth, speed, and power. And now, it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. That's because the all-new Gen 4 Theragun has a proprietary brushless motor that's so quiet, you'll wonder if it's on. While you soothe your aching muscles with Theragun's signature power, amplitude, and effectiveness. Try Theragun risk-free for 30 days. There's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4 with an OLED screen, personalized Theragun app, and the quiet and power that you need. Starting at only $199, go to Theragun.com/FTF right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/FTF, Theragun.com/FTF. Hey, this weekend we got two NASCAR Cup Series races live from Pocono Raceway. First on Saturday, catch the action beginning at 3:30 Eastern, that's on Fox. Then Sunday at 4, back at it again on FS1. Both great races, also available on the Fox Sports app. All right, guys, back here with Coach Eric Mangini. Coach, let's play a little drawing a blank. According to a report in the New York Daily News, Jets head coach Adam Gase is not the most popular guy in the building. Supposedly not respected among players, coaches, or the front office. I mean, not liked is one thing, not respected, as Nick would say, that ain't great. And that's reportedly played a major role in Jamal Adams requesting a trade. And according to another report, the 49ers are now picking up steam in the Adams trade discussion. Nick, the latest Jamal Adams developments are blank.
I'm going to call them half true. And the reason I think they're half true is I don't put a ton of stock into the report about the Niners picking up steam in this regard. I'm not saying he's not going to go there, but that seemed very flimsy and very thin. The other part that's half true is I do believe that Jamal Adams and a lot of his teammates don't love Adam Gase. He has seemed to want to trade away the best players on the team since he got there. But the reason it's only half true, that part of it, is because if they gave him his money, he'd be happy. So, like, this idea that even if they offered to make him the highest paid safety ever, he'd still want to leave, I don't buy that. This started with the money, and I think it's still about the money. It's just exacerbated by the fact that the Jets are not a competitive franchise, at least over the last decade, and by the fact that the head coach seems to have very odd interpersonal skills, Coach Mangini.
Yeah, to me, this is just convenient, and it's right out of the shoot your way out of town handbook, where if you don't get what you want, then you start attacking people in power to try to get to the point where the relationship is so soured that they have to try to move you, they have to try to give you what you want. But you got to be careful when you do that, because it can also harden people's positions. You can see he's you know, they're going after the head coach as opposed to the GM, because the GM still has the ability to give him what he's hoping for. In terms of San Francisco, they've got Jaquaski Tart and Jimmy Ward, two really good young safeties. It's hard for me to imagine that that's a location where he could potentially head if it goes that way.
The sourness of the relationship took me by surprise and reminded me of the story Belichick told on NFL 100 with LT. So LT keeps showing up late to the meetings, and he's constantly late. So Belichick finally goes to Parcells and he's like, hey, LT's constantly late to these meetings. We're trying to run a tight ship, trying to win. Like, what should I do? And Parcells says, well, why are you starting the meetings without LT? Because LT had the juice in the relationship. So that's why I feel like it's Adam Gase's responsibility to make that relationship with Jamal Adams work and not have any sourness whatsoever.
Yeah, look, the relationships have to work on both sides, and both parties have responsibilities to make it effective. There is an element when you're dealing with a really good player of making some concessions. And I remember early on with Ty Law in New England, I was a young defensive back coach, and we were having a little bit of friction. And Bill Belichick told me, look, that's why you've got the C on your chest. You've got to figure out a way to make it work. And I get all that. But this has nothing to do with the perception of Adam Gase. This has to do with not getting what you want, so trying to sour a relationship so that you can get what you want. It's the classic next step when you're not getting your demands met.
Why do you think Nick shows up for our 5 a.m. meetings at 5:04? We make concessions. There you go, a compliment. On to the Bears now, where we already have a quarterback controversy between Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles. Do you need to be swayed? Well, Bears new wide receiver Ted Ginn Jr. thinks he knows how this will play out. Ginn says Trubisky will be the starter. And there you have it. Nick, Ted Ginn's comments should have Nick Foles feeling blank.
Just fine, and I'll explain why in a moment. But first, I have to say, Coach, I hope you're happy. You just cost me $1,000 because I bet every member on the staff individually $100 that when Kevin Wildes compared Jamal Adams to Lawrence Taylor, that you were going to lose your bleeping mind.
That's what I thought.
That was the whole idea of that bit. And instead, Coach gave a very sober, honest, he's like, well, I've got a Ty Law story for you, instead of losing it. The whole idea was for you to be like, he's not Lawrence Taylor. You do anything for Lawrence Taylor.
Exactly.
So Coach set it up. You at least owe me half of that. So you can Venmo me $500.
Wait a second.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
Sometimes my kids say ridiculous things, and I can't even justify them with an answer back. So I wasn't.
That would have been good.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't justify that story reaction.
Fair enough. Now, to get on this topic, Foles should be feeling just fine. The Bears traded for him. They guaranteed him $21 million. And I don't want to blow up my guy Ted Ginn's spot on this, but Teddy, this is a little questionable take integrity, because I asked Ted Ginn this question 2 weeks ago, and the answer was not, I believe Trubisky's going to be our starter. So either he's got new information, or he just kind of says different names at different times. Nick Foles is going to be the starter in Chicago, Coach.
To me, this should have him feeling indifferent. He obviously, the organization wanted him. The head coach has a relationship with him. He has experience in the system. He's got $21 million of guaranteed money. Trubisky is you know, fighting an uphill battle at this point. And Ted Ginn doesn't know who should be the starter because he's never been there. So he has no firsthand knowledge of the situation. It just doesn't matter. Just another comment from somebody weighing in the offseason.
Yeah, that's. But I thought that was a positive, Coach. I thought it was a good take. Hey, who's going to be the starter? He starts firing off takes. And, Nick, not everyone adheres to take integrity, certainly not Ted Ginn. And maybe he has new information like, yeah, he's the Bears wide receiver, so he might have new information. But I thought it was a strong take. Let's see what else he's got. He's probably got good takes on the other stuff, too.
Bring him in. Ask him everything. Moving on to the Patriots now, where Kevin's favorite player, Jarrett Stidham, got some good news yesterday. Yeah. Wideout Mohamed Sanu is, quote, way ahead of the curve in his recovery from ankle surgery. So that's the good news. The bad news, the Patriots didn't even address the wide receiver position in the draft. So Sanu's going to have to produce this season. More bad news, Tom Brady's still not on the team. But back to Sanu. Nick, the Patriots' talent around Stidham this season will be blank.
Miraculously improved. And I don't actually believe it's going to be that improved at all. That's why I say miraculously, because it wasn't that bad last year. We just needed to create excuses for a 42-year-old deteriorating Tom Brady bouncing balls in the dirt. So it was that the receiving corps stinks, even though Wilds will tell you Edelman's a future Hall of Famer. Mohamed Sanu has had a damn good career leading up to that point. N'Keal Harry is a first-round pick. Sony Michel is a first-round pick. But all of them stunk because we couldn't blame Brady. This year, Brady's not going to be around to make excuses for. So all of a sudden, those guys are going to be miraculously improved, and folks are going to be blaming Jarrett Stidham. I would, though, wonder, Coach, if with the improved ankle, how that would affect Mohamed Sanu's throwing motion and his ability to plant his feet, because he might be the best quarterback on the team this year.
The talent in New England is emerging, and one of the things I love about my kids' school is the way that they do their report cards, where they say exceeding expectations, meeting expectations, and then to sum it up and present it nicely, they say emerging. That's the next category, and I think that's where the talent level is.
Oh, good trick there.
Sanu should be better, healthy, more experienced in the system. Harry should be better with more experience in the system. They drafted two tight ends. The last time they did that, they hit with Gronk and Hernandez. And that's always been a strength of Bill Belichick. So that's encouraging. And I know Nick hates when I talk about coaches because God forbid they have any influence on the game. But losing Dante Scarnecchia is huge. And you saw an interview with Dante recently where he said that it's good that Stidham can scramble. I think that tells you a little bit about the expectations he may have.
Darn it. When Coach talks about Dante, my Patriots hopes and dreams really come crashing down. I had them at 11-5. I felt good about this. Here's the thing, Coach. Sometimes football, as you know, is very complicated. You can get into the depths of it. And sometimes it's just very simple. And when Mohamed Sanu, I think it's very simple. Guys, I was hurt last year. I'm a good wide receiver, and I was hurt. He wasn't super productive with the Falcons. Then he comes over to the Patriots, plays even more games, only has 26 receptions. But he's hurt. It's not a big deal. It's not too complicated. Now he's healthy. He'll be better, Jenna.
Okay. Let's talk some baseball. According to our friends at Fox Bet, my Yankees are the favorites to win the World Series, with the Dodgers and Astros close behind them. With Knicks Royals somewhere near us, nowhere near us, tied for the fourth worst odds of winning. I wanted to make sure I got all of that out of the gate. Back to the top, though. Yanks winning their 28th World Series title would be blank, Nick.
Tie-breaking, and I'll explain in a moment, but in honor of take integrity, I have to now say, Coach, you no longer owe me $1,000 because I bet other members of the staff at massive negative odds that you would bring up Dante Scarnecchia, and I just hit that bet, thank you, so now I'm even on the day, so you cost me money, but now I won money, so we're good. Now, tie-breaking, I say this. The 2020s, this is going to be the first baseball season of the 2020s, It is going to break the tie between the Yankees and their hated rival for who's been the best team in the AL over the last quarter or over the last half century. That hated rival, of course, is my Kansas City Royals. The Royals were the team of the 80s. The Yankees had some decent success in the 90s and aughts. But in the 2010s, ain't no World Series for them. Royals went to two, went to one. So this is the, you know, this is the deciding decade for who's been better over the last 50 years, Yankees or Royals. So I'd say it's tie-breaking, Coach.
To me, it's mixed emotions. I grew up in Connecticut, didn't have a pro team, and I leaned towards the Yankees growing up. I think it would be a great thing for the city, so there's that. But I'm a diehard Toronto Blue Jays fan, and if you want to make some money, Nick, that's where you need to bet. They're plus 10,000, so it's a little bit more than the Yankees odds, and that's where you need to put your money. Take integrity that, Nick.
So, thank you. I'm talking about take integrity, too. My answer was 50 games. So I will be rooting for the Yankees for 50 games in the regular season. Those next 10 games are against the Red Sox. They're not in chronological order, but they got 10 games against the Red Sox. I'll be rooting for the Red Sox. Here's the issue, Nick, and I know you value take integrity, but I know you also value honesty, and I'm being honest here. I grew up in Connecticut, a Red Sox fan. I've lived in New York for longer than I was a child in Connecticut. Went to a Yankees game last year, sitting in the middle row. You know, you constantly have to kind of go back and forth. You develop a little rapport with the people on the side of you. Aaron Judge at the plate hits a home run. Everybody stands up. I can't see. I stand up. The guy next to me stands up. Boom, home run. Place goes crazy. The guy next to me turns, gives me the high five, and I go, bam. I'm high-fiving in Yankee Stadium, and I thought, you know what? I'm a Yankee fan. I just have to admit it. I'm a Red Sox fan first, but I'm also a Yankee fan, and I know I'm a rare bird, but that's the truth.
Jenna, that's the most... we might get an FCC fine for how grotesque that commentary was. I grew up a Red Sox fan. I go to one Yankee game. I'm high-fiving Aaron Judge in front. Who the hell do I work with? I don't even care about the Yankees Red Sox rivalry. Get out of here. How?
It's true.
No, let him do what he wants to do. That's where his heart is, Nick. No shot.
Oh, my God.
Sticking with baseball, guys. So many stars. So many high expectations. Who do you think fans should be most excited to see? We're excited to see our guy Nick Swisher joining us next with all your baseball answers. Oh, first things first.
God. Should be ashamed.
Major League Baseball announced that the 2020 season is back. MLB on Fox returning on July 25th with Fox Saturday Baseball. America's home for baseball this summer, as always, will be Fox and FS1. If you think you're excited, wait till you hear how a guy by the name of Nick Swisher feels about it. Swish, thanks for being with Am I Right? How pumped are you for the start of the season?
You are so right. You are so right. Baseball is back. We need it. We missed a little bit of time, but we are back. 60-game season, expanded playoffs. So excited. Chance for Mike Trout to get in the playoffs. It's going to be amazing.
Sometimes it doesn't matter what you say. You just get us excited for literally anything we're talking about. I'm glad it's baseball, though.
I love you, bro.
Let's dive. I know you do. We love having you. Let's dive in here. The season is less than 1 month away, all right? It'll be shortened to 60 games, so let's start right there. Who do you think, Swish, benefits the most from the shortened season?
Well, I think no doubt. I think the teams that have the best starting pitching. I think the teams that have the best starting and bullpen pitching. Let me reframe that. I think at the end of the day, you got to think about teams like the Washington Nationals, the New York Yankees, even the Tampa Bay Rays, right? They know how to pitch. They know what it takes to get themselves to that 90-95 win season. So I think if any team does have the advantage in a short season like this, it could be some of the, even the Cincinnati Reds. They've got great starting pitching. So I think in general, the team that has the best pitching is going to usually end up as a winner in this situation.
Well, Swish, first of all, great background. You won the background contest, the beach and the water and the little fur on the left. So first of all, you won nothing, Swish, right out of the gate. Hey, you know what I like? Position players pitching. Major League Baseball is going to roll back this rule that you couldn't pitch if you're a position player unless it's a blowout or extra innings. And now they change it. Like, now everybody can go so we can get a chance to see this guy out there and play.
Oh, man.
Ball around, so
you don't
want to
see that too often.
It's great.
That was amazing, man. Hey, just to be able to have the opportunity to do something like that was amazing. Thank goodness it was only one time. Scariest moment of my life, man. When you're used to being 250 feet away in the outfield, and then all of a sudden you're 60
feet
away.
That's a good point.
It's a lot closer.
That's a good point.
That's awesome. And to Swish's point about starting pitching, I think my answer is the Astros. And it's not just because, even though they lost Cole, they have great starting pitching. but it's more because the story of this season was going to be the way baseball reacted, teams, fans, everyone, to the Astros scandal. Now the story has been the pandemic, the 60 games. There's likely not even going to be fans in order to be heckling them. So I feel like the Astros getting off a little cheap here. So I feel like they actually oddly benefit from this more than just about anybody else, Jen.
All right, that's who benefits. Let's talk about the other side of this. Last year's World Series champ Nationals got off to a 27-33 start through 60 games. It's no secret, teams can't afford a start like that this season. So, Swisher, which team is hurt the most by the shortened season, do you think?
Yeah, I think teams that jump off to slow starts. I think for myself, being a Yankee guy, I think this was kind of the greatest thing that could have happened to us. We got the season pushed back. All of our guys got healthy. Now all of a sudden they're all ready for opening day. But I think the teams that aren't ready, maybe there are some teams where guys maybe haven't been training as hard as they should be, but we will definitely know, come out of the gates, who's been working and who hasn't. 3 weeks is not long enough to get into shape. I'm really interested to see how spring training is going to be in their own home ballparks. I'm interested to see how fast they can get in baseball shape. But I think at the end of the day, just the fact that we have sports on television at the end of July, it's going to make my day, man. I mean, just in general, we've been missing out on sports so much. So to be able to get the union and obviously the owners together, it's so nice to see it work out. 60 games, man, I'll take it.
See, my answer is team enthusiasm. And Swish, you represent it perfectly. As part of the safety protocols, which are mandatory and necessary, there's no high fives, there's no hugs, there's no big celebrations at home plate. Now, there's been studies done that there's real psychological advantages to high fives and handshakes. I think it will actually have an effect on the field for some players that sort of thrive off of momentum and enthusiasm, Nick.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to be maybe a little more specific than I should be here, but who's hurt the most? I'm going to say Albert Pujols. Albert Pujols is on the cusp of some all-time numbers. He obviously is 4 home runs shy of Mays, 44 home runs shy of the 700 home run club, 58 shy of Babe Ruth. So he obviously wasn't going to be able to get that this year, but if this was a full season plus another full season next year, he would have a shot. But the RBI numbers are maybe even more noteworthy. He's got 2,075. That's third all-time. The all-time leader is about 220 ahead of him in Hank Aaron. I do wonder if he was planning on playing this year plus another one, maybe one more, if having the shortened season here is going to prevent him from becoming top 4 all-time home runs, maybe top 3, number 1 all-time RBI. So I think Albert Pujols and his quest to really redo the record books is hurt by this season.
All right, let's move on to who might win it all this year. The Yankees are the favorites to win the World Series. According to me, they're absolutely right. But just behind them, the Dodgers and the Astros. Swish, let's get your opinion here. Who is your pick to win all of it this season?
I mean, come on, y'all. You know I bleed pinstripes. So at the end of the day, I mean, I'm going with the New York Yankees. I think, like I said a little bit earlier, it's been the best thing that has happened to this organization with guys like Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton. A lot of these guys being injured in spring training, this break gives them that time to get themselves ready and get back on the field for a full 60-game season. I think it's so cool that something we've never done before. You're going to have to get out of the gates extremely quick this year. If you get off to an 0-5, maybe like a 2-10 start, that could be the end of the season for you. The one team I'm really interested in watching as well is the Los Angeles Dodgers. Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, come on, man. Those guys next to each other in the outfield, the best left-handed, right-handed hitters in the game. So to be able to see those guys play next to each other, man, I am so excited to see that.
Now, Nick, as you know, I don't bleed pinstripes. I just kind of sweat pinstripes because I'm a really Red Sox fan.
But like,
you have pinstripes.
Look, Yankees are my pick too. They're my second favorite team. I'm super interested in the urgency of the season and the rivalries. Those 10 games against the Red Sox take on added importance, and the games against the Mets take on added importance. So the rivalries get even more intense, Nick.
Yeah, I'm going with the Dodgers. Now, full disclosure, I picked the Dodgers to come out of the NL and win the World Series 4 of the last 5 years. They got to do it at some point, Swish. I understand that Kershaw is probably 85% of what he once was. But what he once was arguably one of the five greatest regular season pitchers of all time.
Agreed.
You mentioned Bellinger and Betts, potentially the best 2-3 or wherever they hit in the lineup this year in all of baseball now that the addition and the sense of urgency for the Dodgers. You traded all that talent away for a full season of Mookie Betts, and now you're getting like a mini season of Mookie Betts. I think the Dodgers finally break through this year, Jenna.
All right, let's move on. We touched on the Astros. One of the biggest storylines heading into this season was how Houston would deal with the hostile road crowds after their sign-stealing controversy. Well, with the likelihood of no fans, that storyline is out the window. But, Swish, forget the fans. How will the Astros be received by opposing teams and players this season?
Yeah, I definitely think the Houston Astros are still in my penalty box for a little bit. There's no doubt about that. I think this is the luckiest thing that could have happened to any sort of team ever in sports. The fact that you go through a sign-stealing scandal like they did, and then all of a sudden there's going to be no fans in the stands to heckle them? Listen, I'm in Los Angeles as well, and I knew every Dodger fan in America was driving to Anaheim for that opening series to give the Houston Astros exactly what they deserve. So I think if there is a team that does benefit from this pandemic, from this shortened season, from this no fans, Houston Astros are definitely right there at the top.
In a little bit of poetry, I went with Craig Biggio-esque, the leader in hit by pitches with 285. I think the Astros are going to be on the receiving end of a few fastballs. Craig, that's the record setter. Congratulations, Craig. People start cheering for him. It also helps that he has a bunch of armor when he gets to the plate, Nick.
Yeah, I actually think because I agree with Swish, they're kind of getting let off the hook. And I think, listen, if you believe in almost like crowd mentality, I think some of the aggressiveness from other teams was going to be spurned on by the crowd. The crowd we don't think is going to be there. So I think the Astros are going to get beamed less than expected. I think they're going to be facing less vitriol from opponents than expected because you don't have 25,000 people spewing venom at them. So I do think the like nobody got lucky in the pandemic. But the Astros are, it would appear, going to come out about as well as anybody could have, Jim.
All right, let's dial into some players to watch here. Reigning MVP Mike Trout is the overwhelming favorite to take home the award again in the AL. But, Swish, who are you most excited to watch this year?
Well, I think there's two guys that really stand out in my mind right now. One would be Mookie Betts, and the other one would be Garrett Cole. And the reason why I say I want to see Mookie Betts, because you got to remember, he spent his entire career in the American League. Now, all of a sudden, he's going to the National League. He's facing different pitchers. He's playing in different ballparks. And he only has 60 games to prove his worth. So at the end of the day, I hope he doesn't put too much pressure on himself, because if he does what he knows he's capable of doing in that Los Angeles Dodger lineup, hey, Nick, you might be right, bro. They might finally win the World Series, bro.
I'm looking at the race for 400. Cody Bellinger was the closest guy last year. He batted 376 through 60 games. Historically, Larry Walker is the best in the wild card. Read 417. Nick, we also get the very rare deserved asterisk if this happens. I'm the Ted Williams guy, although I'm a kind of Yankee fan. Still a Ted Williams guy. So I'm interested to see if this can happen this year.
All right, listen, my answer was Mookie Betts, but our guy Swish took all my ammo. So since Swish stole my answer, I'm going to do something I've never done. Swish, I don't know if they can put us both on camera. Swish, I'm going to steal your hairdo. Hold on. Wait, what, you haven't seen me in a long time, right? Oh, damn, it won't stand up.
No.
It won't stand up like yours.
No.
Let me. Yeah. I haven't seen you in months. I'm trying to get it to stand up like Swish.
Wiles is
up.
Already there with
long.
The hair. You
too
missed
much weight.
It. You're way off, Nick.
Too much weight. Swish, you got to teach me how
it's
you do yours,
put
man.
Put it back down.
Yours looks dope.
Swish,
mine looks
as always.
Stupid.
Let's send you some product.
Thank you so much, buddy. I can't wait to have you back. Super excited. We got to take a break.
See you, Swish.
More First Things First after this. Wet that thing down, Nick. Wet it down. Mat it down. How are you not excited for baseball after that? Time for stories to start your morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve baseball. Now right around the corner with a new season returning, new rules to look forward to. The DH is coming to the NL. How about this? All extra innings will start with a runner already on second base. Usain Bolt's phone should be ringing right about now. Nick, you got a new rule you're excited about?
I'm excited to see how the runner on second base and extras works, Jenna. I mean, I obviously know the rules of it, but I think this is the perfect time for baseball to experiment with something like this. Similar to how the NBA considered, are we going to go to a group stage? Because we can have an opportunity to experiment. I don't know if this is something baseball is going to do long term, but if they were ever going to try it out, this is the perfect year to do it. So the runner on second to start extras, I'm very intrigued to see how that works out, Wild.
Yeah, I think it really shortened the games in the minor leagues. I'm interested in a few things. I like the idea of speed on second base, reintroduce speed into the game. I like the universal DH. I like the idea for safety reasons. Not everybody can be in the dugout, and some players will actually have to be in the stands. But my favorite thing, and it's because it's something that's irked me for a long time, there's no more bat boys or anyone to get your stuff. You've got to carry your stuff all over the place. So if you strike out, you can't just undo your arm and drop your bat. You've got to bring it back to the dugout. Or if you're on second, you got all your stuff, you're stuck with it. So I like the idea that you have to carry your stuff like a defeated tennis player. You just got to pick up your big bag and keep it moving for Sark.
Look, chicks aren't the only one to dig the long ball. I dig it. So I'm excited about the universal DH. I know the purists don't like it, but the purists didn't like the expanded playoffs, and that's been great for baseball. I'm excited. It's all about launch angle nowadays. Universal DH has been a long time coming. It needs to stay and be here for good.
All right, let's move on to the NFL now. And some high praise from Washington head coach Ron Rivera said he's more than a little excited about his rookie defensive end, Chase Young. Rivera is already comparing his number two overall pick to Julius Peppers and Von Miller. Wilds, what do you make of the comparison? Too much, too little, or just right?
I think it's just right. He called him a mini version of Julius Pepper, but it's my favorite storyline, Nick. Chase Young still growing. His father grew. He's still growing. So the idea he might be an oversized Julius Pepper once, in 5 years.
This is high, high praise. And Peppers and Von Miller, a very similar, right side of the wiki pages, or as the kids used to say, the back of the baseball card. They both made an all-pro team at least 6 times. They both won Defensive Rookie of the Year. They both were members of an all-decade team. The one thing neither one of them did, though, is win a Defensive Player of the Year. I couldn't believe it. So, Chase Young, I think some people are picking him to win Defensive Player of the Year as a rookie. Chase Young has an opportunity to do something this year, Broussard, that neither one of those guys ever did, win Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I love Chase Young. I think maybe a little more like Von Miller. He's obviously not as big as Peppers, but if he continues to grow, as Wild said, maybe it is more of an apt comparison. He's going to a team that's going to have a great defensive line, so they won't be able to just focus on him. I think that'll help. And the last two guys to come out of defensively Ohio State with this type of hype, the Bosa brothers, they've lived up to it. So I think Chase will do the same.
And most importantly, guys, I approved of his workout. Let's talk some hoops. The Knicks have hired William Wesley, known in the basketball world as Worldwide West, to the front office. Wesley previously worked as a consultant for CAA alongside Knicks president Leon Rose. Broussard, back to you. Will having these guys in the front office help the Knicks land a superstar?
West will help slightly. It's a little bit better than it was their chances than they were 2 days ago. But they still got the James Dolan issue, and it's just unfortunate. But the Charles Oakley situation didn't sit well with players. The way the Knicks have handled the Black Lives Matter situation after George Floyd's death, they initially didn't release a statement. Then they released a lukewarm one once they felt the pressure. That is not set well with players. So I don't think this is going to make New York any type of free agent destination that it hasn't been for the past 20 some odd years. If by chance, I don't think this happens, but somehow if they were to get Giannis, it wouldn't be just because of Wes. It would be because he wanted to be in New York and liked what they're building.
The Giannis in New York, I wasn't expecting that one, Broussard. I don't know if this helps at all, Nick. Why you threw it out there? I got excited about it.
Look, I think I don't know if Alton get a huge star. I do think the biggest star that I think is coming back is Carmelo next year. I want to see Carmelo back in New York. That's the one guarantee I want to see.
Okay. I'm going to see your Giannis, and I'm going to raise you the one star in the league bigger than Giannis. I mean, LeBron's a free agent in 2022. He always talks about the Garden. Maybe they hire Jason Kidd to be the head coach. Maybe Dolan takes a step back. You got World Wide West. James Harden maybe is a free, James Harden's a free agent in 2022 as well.
What?
Luzard has declared he'll never win a title as the main guy. Maybe he goes to New York. I'm just saying LeBron wins a couple titles in LA, gets rings 4 and 5 in LA, rings 6 in New York. Age 37, 38, similar to Kareem, age 38, ringing with the Lakers. I'm just saying, just don't say Chris it's Paul. Impossible.
So yeah, it's impossible. I won't even.
Right, here we go, Zion.
That.
Let's just bring that everybody happened. In. Speaking of, how about that guy?
Hey, Zion CA, guys.
A source of the Pelicans says he's going to shock people in the postseason. And according to a story from ESPN, an NBA exec, says the league would love to see Zion take on the Lakers in the first round, similar to how Michael Jordan took on the Celtics in 86. Who was on that 86 Celtics team?
Larry Bird, Kevin McHale.
Hey,
a lot of great players.
Keep going. Dennis Johnson. Who, number 44, yeah. Who was it?
You gotta
it?
Go oh, about yeah. 8 feet.
Hey, Wilds. Who are you rooting for? Are you rooting for a Zion LeBron series?
Yeah, look, I like the idea that, like Jordan, Zion could sort of build his legacy playing LeBron. But there's 90 seconds left in the show, and Broussard and Nick just talked, and we're about to go, Nick's not going to be here tomorrow, and he starts talking about LeBron to the Knicks and James Harden to the Knicks. This is like the end of a party, and someone's like, yeah, by the way, I'm getting married, buying a house, and having a kid. It's like, what? The party's ending. What are you doing?
Listen. I just put it out there. People can consider it. Let it matriculate in their brain for the next few years. NBA, you don't need, Zion's already a star. You need Ja Morant against the Lakers in round one. Get his Q rating up. We don't need Zion against the Lakers to be fun to see, but Ja's the one that needs more exposure, not Zion, Broussard.
It's too early to put him in the same sentence as Michael Jordan and LeBron James. Can we stop it? Can he play a little D and grab a few rebounds before we annoy him with the coach?
Come on.
I'm just saying.
You're right, Broussard. Zion's no Andrew Wiggins.
Quick, let's get to this last story quickly. Superman takes flight. Browns defensive end Myles Garrett throwing this down. Broussard, what do you think? You like it or like me? Does it make you nervous? Just a little bit.
No, I like it. He's only 6'4", and those weren't just your average run-of-the-mill dunk. Those are not easy to do, trust me.
It looks like Broussard in college. That looks great. Good job, Myles Garrett. Hey.
8-foot rim, I can do all
that. Back here tomorrow morning. Have a great day. Broussard, thanks. Stay safe, everyone.